Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, it is a Friday, which means we get into the economics news of the week. Comparatively, this week hasn't been as exciting as previous weeks when it comes to the economy. We haven't seen that much data coming out. The president didn't make a speech. The Reserve Bank hasn't cut interest rates or anything like that. So we thought this would be a good time for us to maybe look at something that is applicable to everyone, and that is taxes, what the state of public finances is at the moment, because it is tax season. So, you know, many people, businesses will be paying tax at this time, and that is how the fiscus is able to fund itself. And interestingly, the finance minister will be giving a midterm budget speech next week, talking about how all of our taxes are going to be allocated with the goal of growing the economy. And to sort of help us to unpack some of the issues, we are joined by Keith Engel, who is the CEO of the South African Institute of Tax Professionals. Keith, greetings to you. SA Institute of Tax Professionals, can you give us some insight into the work that you guys are doing before we get into the discussion?
Yes, no, we're a tax institute. So we have over 8,000 members, and our members consist of tax practitioners. So if you're going to file returns, you're going to be dealing with the revenue service, and you're going to hire advisors, you require and if you need somebody with a degree and somebody who's qualified. So in order to do that, you need to be a tax practitioner. You can get tax practitioners in other organizations, but we are the largest now, and we are the only one dedicated to tax. So they're basically the intermediaries on behalf of businesses and individuals.
So against that backdrop, then, all of these tax professionals that you guys are, you know, representing and that form, you know, the body itself, how are you seeing this tax season going? Because I'm sure consumers are strained, businesses are strained, the government is strained. You know, how are you seeing things going at this time?
Look, there have been some improvements where everything's at, but I guess everything is in complete disarray. I mean, as you saw where things were in February and March, we were already headed into a recession or very, very weak economic growth. And basically, coronavirus just blew all the finances and the economy off the charts. The only nice thing about it is that everything has been blown off the charts globally. So whereas South Africa was standing alone in the doldrums, now it's just part of a group. And the question is, how badly were we damaged? And I think we were damaged along like everybody else. So that damage globally sort of has forgiven us a little bit on the world spotlight in that sense. But the difficulty is when you're looking at the finances remain in tatters. And so the question is, how much economy is there to fill the gap? That's the point. I mean, we've got a definite shortfall. Our debts ratio is going to go way up. That's the real, I guess, thing that'll be discussed next week, how much that ratio is going to be expected and how much can taxes fill the hole. Now, clearly, the economy only has so much money. And this is really the problem internationally, that globally, the money just isn't there. But then there's the other issue. Well, there is money there. It's just not being paid over. And the question is, what battleground takes place in that arena?
And on that front, Keith, how much, I think this is the part that, you know, the listeners would really be interested to know, how much do our taxes actually contribute to the state's coffers? Because, you know, we talk about tax actually funding the government, but is that really the case, that all of the money that we're paying in VAT, in duties, in personal income tax, etc., is that really all that the government is using? What proportion of public finances, just from the data that you guys might have, is actually going towards funding the fiscus?
Well, I guess it's a funny way of saying it. I mean, there are two things going on. First, we are spending more than we're taking in. So that's problem number one. So if you look at the situation, we're going into debt, you know, I'm not sure what the latest numbers are, but we're going into debt every year in a number of billions. So it's billions that is being added to the debt every year, and that's called a budget deficit. So you're going into the hole, and the way you fill up the hole is you borrow. Now, there are two ways to go. You can keep borrowing. The problem is you ultimately have to pay it back. So money saved today means more money to be paid out tomorrow. And the other issue is, well, if you're spending too much, I mean, basically it's a triangle. You've got spending, and the way do you cover spending? You either do it with taxes to get revenue, or what you do is you have to borrow. And government is borrowing, and they're able to get away with it for a while, but at some point the borrowing has to be repaid. So, but all of your taxes is going somewhere. The issue that's implied is, well, is it going where we want it to go? So if you look at the budget, most of the budget is redistributional, about 80% to 90%. There is very little going into capital. Most of it is going into salaries. And yes, unfortunately, a good chunk is going into corruption. How much we really don't know, but the corruption is eaten into us and the patronage is eaten into us. I mean, if you look at SAA, really, when you look at these state-owned enterprises, what you're seeing is we're supporting large director salaries and mid-level management that needs to go. So a lot of our money is lost, and that mounts into the billions. I just know one's done a study on how much is lost in that way. But the money is not, it's not like it just disappears. It goes somewhere. But unfortunately, we're not always happy where it goes.
Keith, one of the things that we are very curious about when it comes to this issue of public finances and specifically tax season, how do you think this tax season is actually going to go? Because there's already projected to be a shortfall that's going to come up for the year, and then, you know, that then feeds into the issues that you're raising around the government having to borrow to then fund its activities. But given how strained South African consumers are, has SARS or the government made any special concessions for people to not have to pay tax this year, or is it just filing season as normal?
It's filing season as normal. There were a couple of incentives that were given out in grants and in loan funding back, from March through April, May. The question is, does that need to continue? The thing, though, that you're highlighting is this, is that when targets are set up, are they realistic? And this is a big problem in Africa, that, you know, targets are set on what we hope, not on what is reasonably possible. So sometimes the revenue service falls short, but I've always questioned, well, is that target realistic? I mean, you know, here you are, it's sort of like being in a marriage and you have a spouse that is just spending too much, whether it's the husband or the wife. One party is spending too much and then says to the other one, go out and make more money. Well, there's only so much money you can make. And the problem for the revenue service was the numbers were already questionable back in March. With coronavirus, they've definitely fallen short. And now the question is, how much of the economy is back online? So all the revenue service has is two forms of collection. They sort of have passive form of collection where the mainly compliant are contributing. And the question is making life easy for the mainly compliant so that they will do what they do without any hassles. Then there's the non-compliant. And the question is how much revenue can the revenue service pick up in that space? Now that's where the pressure is on, and somehow magic is supposed to take hold there. But there's only so much illegal money out there. So there's the total economy, which comes up with the legal economy and the formal economy. And the question for the revenue services, you know, how much can we get a hold of that illegal amounts that are just not being disclosed to us? And there's only so much they can do. That varies. It's a question of the tax gap. How big is the tax gap really, and where can you get the money? But the targets are not really set. I don't think the targets are set realistically. They're set with, first we set how much we want to spend, and then we say, well, this is the target. But the target can't be set that way. It's really, you know, how much are you going to earn in your job? You know, no one's going to come to you. You get a salary, you get a bonus. That's what sets your salary. That's your life. Somebody can't come along and say, gee, we need to spend a lot more money, and then set a target. And this has been a real problem for a lot of the African governments for a long time. What they want and what they can really afford is a big difference.
Is there any idea of what the quantum of the possible lost taxes will be this year, given some of the targets that you're referring to?
I'm not sure. It probably is at least 20 billion. I mean, it would have to be. Because I've been looking at the cigarettes, they lost about 20, might be even 40 billion. I haven't taken a look at the latest. I'm waiting for the immediate medium-term budget statement on that. But that's when the numbers will come out and you'll see. And that's really the purpose of the budget statement next week, to show us, okay, there's the initial budget the minister and the president and everybody sets. So that's where the target is set. That's where the expectations are set. The purpose of the MTBS next week is to say, well, how do we come out? Where are the numbers? And this year, we were already in trouble, but now with the coronavirus, all the numbers have been blown off the charts. So it's quite significant. I've seen numbers where we were talking about a debt ratio of 81%, 81 debt to GDP ratio, but now there are a number of economists who are talking about 121 or 140. So we'll see that number coming through as well, but those numbers are still waiting.
I guess for consumers and business, I think let me start with consumers first before we move to businesses. But for consumers, what are some of the things that we should be paying attention to when the minister delivers his speech last week? Are there any spending items or possible red flags we should be, thinking to ourselves that this might result in me either paying more tax or more levies being put on against us?
Yeah, look, I think the question is, where do they get additional money if they want to get it? Now, they've been careful not to raise taxes in February because they said we really can't afford it. So one of the problems is governments know that if they raise taxes, they're not going to quite get the response they want, because people are now beginning to bail out of the system. When taxes start becoming too high, the pressure on illegality grows. And frankly, the last tax increases didn't get them what they wanted. But what you see typically, if they want to raise taxes, it will be the fuel levy. They tend to like that one because people have to buy the fuel, whether they like it or not. And so that one hits the poor quite a lot. I won't expect any change in the VAT. That would be an outcry. It would also slow the economy. If you're an individual in the high bracket, there is a risk of a solidarity levy, which just is a higher income tax, just disguised. So you could see something like that, but it wouldn't be announced next week. That would be announced in February. All that would be said in the medium term budget is, we're thinking we might have to raise more revenue through taxes. When I saw the president's last budget, he was talking about raising revenue, but not through raising taxes, but through better collection. And that's really where the commissioner has been pushing. It's not about raising more for the innocent, it's getting the guilty. So there's been a push to say, if you're off the system, we're going to try to find you and bring you in. And that's really what we're at. I mean, cash use of economy, people who are simply not reporting, trying to, one of the things that SARS is using is third-party data. So you say you earned only, 300,000 Rand, but somebody sent you another 150. And the revenue service has notification that you've got another 150 and you're not disclosing it. So those kind of things SARS is trying to ramp up. But that's taking time. It's like national prosecutions. You are seeing some prosecutions of SARS. Somebody got in trouble recently for VAT fraud. You're seeing some of the old stuff coming up now. The MPA is getting involved. So if you're on the illegal side, there's definitely going to be pressure. And there will be pressure for suspicious items on audit. But as consumers go, the real issue is, right now we're in a low inflationary environment. The worry that you have is the currency. The currency depreciates because the value of the rand drops because people don't trust our rand because we don't have the financing. Then it comes up in inflation. And that's really the question. What's the credibility of the South African economy? That's how a consumer would deal with it.
And how would you contrast some of those concerns that consumers will have versus businesses? I'm guessing, when it comes to business, most of the taxpayers are small to medium businesses versus corporates. What are some of the concerns on that end?
Yeah, well, I think, look, there are two sides. The big guys are there's only about 500 big guys, really about 200 big guys when it comes to businesses. Then you've got The rest are small and medium in numbers. The issue for them is, will they be facing higher taxes? And they probably will not see a raise in the corporate rate. But what you do see is the government expanding the base. They're, you know, saying a tax applies when for what I call is notional events, where you do something, you don't get additional cash, but you trigger off a tax. So some things that you're seeing a push on is, well, you have a lot of losses. We won't let you deduct all those losses anymore. Or what we'll do is, we're not going to let you deduct all your interest anymore. You can't deduct this or you can't deduct that. If it's government, with larger companies, what you'll often see is transfer pricing. And transfer pricing is cross-border taxation, but a lot of it is not cash-based. So you become subject to notional transactions, things which are theoretical transactions, but are not, you know, actually cash real. And what government often does is, they're looking at paper profits, not real cash profits. And you'll see a push in that direction, where you didn't make any real money on paper. You made it on paper, but you didn't make it in cash. And government wanting to treat the paper money, the paper profit, like cash profit. And that creates a lot of problems, because it's money that the business can't afford to pay. And oftentimes, it's unexpected. That your average party doesn't catch it until the end of the year. So then there becomes a series of battlegrounds on that front.
Keith, do you think there's any credence to South Africa maybe taking the route of Scandinavian countries that find themselves to be heavily taxed, but they pay very little in the way of everyday life, education, and general living expenses are taken care of by the state, and you sort of go to work, you know, for your, I won't say for your own pleasure, but you have a very high level of public service delivery, but it comes at a high cost. Is there a case to be made for something like that in the local economy, just as a way to say, okay, fine, consumers, in exchange for paying large taxes, we as government, we will take care of all of these things for you guys so that you have to worry less? Is that something that's actually viable in a country like South Africa?
Well, let me say this. I think government likes that approach. I think a lot of academics like that approach. It's kind of a European approach. To some extent, you know, maybe the Norwegians and the Swedes are more successful at it, but definitely in Europe, you get more for your buck. And so a lot of times when the OECD makes comparisons of tax to GDP ratios, you'll see their tax to GDP ratios are around 32%, where ours is. The problem is, they're getting a lot more services and value for their money. Here, we're already at a 20%, almost, we're just 4 percentage points behind the OECD on that, but we're not nearly getting as many benefits. And the problem is, if you're going to run a big government, well, the Norwegian government, a lot of these, they've got a more skilled government. And so the point is, there's a lot more skills there. They also have much more of a homogeneous economy. So you don't have those gaps between rich and poor. The economies are doing a lot better. They're all middle-class people contributing and getting middle-class benefits. The problem here is, your revenue is coming off of a very small base, which is probably now much smaller. I mean, we only had 16 million taxpayers before this change, and then we had about 16 million people making money before this change. We only had about 6 or 7 million who were really contributing income tax. Others were contributing the VAT and elsewhere. And those numbers, clearly, it might have been dropped. I think the tax base probably shrank by about 15 to 20% when it came to individuals. And you lost a number of jobs, you know, especially if, you know, you're talking about gardeners, you're talking about maids, and you're talking about all of that. So a couple million were lost there. So you can't have a small group of people carrying the whole mass. If that happens, there's just not enough money to provide enough service to make it fair. And that's really where we're at. We're trapped. And then what happens is, as government gets more desperate and the poor gets more desperate, they demand more services. And then what's happening now is, the middle class is being squeezed. The rich are simply leaving. And that's what's beginning to happen. People are beginning to leave for economic reasons. And it's not just tax, but others. So you can't go to that model. The problem is what the government needs to do is they've got to go back, and that's really what they're saying, is they need to reprioritizing the spending that they have. And the best way to do that is to get the waste out. Some of it is corruption, and others of it is simple patronage. We've got too many mid-level managers and too many regulators and not enough service providers. So we all want to give money to the police and to the teachers and all of that. But when you're talking about the mid-level managers, the board of directors for, you know, for ESCOM and all of that, these things are just out of control. So what you need to do, and that's what the government's talking about, is can we cut our expenses and waste and put that to growth? Because we've got to get this economy beyond this small tax base of 5 to 7 million. If you can get the economy growing by investing in capital infrastructure that gets some growth back in the economy and you get enough taxpayers, well, then over time you might be able to get to the Swedish, Norwegian, Danish model. But you can't get there with the base as small as it is.
Keith, I've got time for about two more questions before we come to the end of the discussion. And the first one just has to do with individual taxes versus company taxes, because we often hear the argument that companies and large corporates need to be paying more tax, and that would be a way to, fund some of the gaps, some of the deficits that the state finds itself in. But in doing some of my own reading and research, it seems as if the largest contributor to state coffers or to taxes on the whole is individual taxes as opposed to company taxes. Could you talk us a little bit around that?
Yeah, look, I think there's a battle going on, and this is now going on globally. What we're finding is that the money has run out. So governments around the world are spending more than they have. And right now, people are feeling poor. And so, you know, once things start to happen, people start looking around and saying, well, you know, where's the money? And so we're looking to blame people and say, well, these people are to blame. So if you talk to the average guy on the street, they go to some rich person or some big company is getting away with taxes. When you talk to the companies, they go, look at the taxis and the hawkers. They're not paying their fair share of taxes. So there is a fair share of tax debate. And what that debate is leading to is we know we have to raise taxes, but raise it on the other guy and don't raise it on me. Now, when you're looking at the South African corporates, overall, the effective rates have gone up quite a bit on them. Since 2000, and when I was in the Treasury and then Pravin Gordhan was in the Revenue Service, a major effort was made to make sure that people were paying a far better proportion of taxes than they were before. So what you will find is your upper middle and a lot of your businesses are paying their fair share of tax. There are some, however, that do avoidance. And we're not saying that that's not the case, but it's not like every corporate is underpaying. And a number of corporates are now paying, they're beginning to say, they're arguing they're paying more than effective rate. So it's not like you've got some easy pot of money. We've been doing this for, when I was in Treasury, we spent really about 10 years expanding the base and trying to bring those effective rates up. Now, sometimes the effective rate's low because the company suffered losses for a number of years in business, and now when they're starting to turn a profit, they can use prior year losses against the profit. But that's really, now you know, that's perfectly fair. Every tax system says we only want to tax you on your net profit, and that's all you can tax. That's how much money you bring home. So, but there is some issues there. Is that there is a concern that some companies are playing games and they're underpaying, and I think there are. I think if you look at a band, I've talked to somebody recently, you've got a lot of companies now that are very conservative and they are paying. And then there are these other ones who are cowboys. And the key for the revenue service is to pick out the cowboys, not only at that level, but also the individual level. So you hear also at the individual level a discussion of wealth taxes. Well, people, how do they become wealthy? Now, they've already been taxed once, but is there, you know, get the super wealthy people to pay in. The real problem with super wealthy people is if you get too aggressive with them, they simply leave. And as a matter of fact, that's what they've been doing for years. Even if they've stayed, they've taken money off, sure, never to be returned. They've taken it offshore trusts, foundations, elsewhere, and their children are leaving. And so bit by bit, you're scaring off the rich. And maybe you want to get more, but the base becomes too mobile. And even with companies, this is the issue in the world. You know, around the world, companies' taxation is dropped. Most countries are being supported by personal income tax and VAT and excise taxes. In the UK, only 10% of the revenues of the income tax revenues come from companies now. Very small. And the reason why is companies and businesses are mobile. So if you tax them too much, they go next door. So the British found when they started raising taxes on their companies, all the companies started fleeing to Netherlands. So you have to be very careful because you're competing for certain portions of the tax base. And that base leaves. And it leaves maybe not immediately, but over time. So yes, you can do things, and I don't have a problem with that, but they need to be selective. And you need to get the baddies in the apple and not just say this whole group suffers even when there's a lot of innocent people in there.
And then lastly, you know, just highlighting the cocktail of factors that you've given us, just, you know, tax bases, governments, effective tax rates, mobility, tax avoidance, corruption, all of these things that are all coming together, you know, to give us the economy that we have right now. What's your advice to consumers and businesses during this tax season for those that, you know, because in some cases, very practically, a small business or individuals might have, let's say, a shortfall for taxes, but because incomes are squeezed, they don't have the money on hand to be paying SARS what they owe, all of those things. What are the practical things that people can actually do to help themselves during this time?
So, you know, if you're going to play it, you play it fair, you play it honest. Government can't take money you're not earning. So what I would suggest is it's important that we could argue use a tax practitioner, but whether you use an in-house person, I wouldn't play games if you're on the system, because they are going to catch you out or they're going to give you a lot of hassle. And you don't want to have that hassle. You have to understand that you own the taxes, you do owe taxes for profits you make, but it will be smaller because your profits are less this year. So the key is to make sure that those things are done and make sure that you're timing the taxes where you've got the cash flow as best you can. So I'm very much a great believer in tax practitioners and accountants so that you have people that you know what your numbers are. That would be, if I'm a small business, know what your numbers are, keep a close eye on the tax, make sure the tax is timed when you get the revenue. So if you're not going to get revenue, you write it off. So one of the things that's there for a lot of small businesses is they'll have a lot of book income. And they'll say, oh, a lot of people owe me a lot of money, but you know you'll never get it. But as long as you keep claiming it, you're going to have it as income. Better to say, look, I'm writing it off. I know I'm not getting it. And that's that. And if you're not getting the money, don't get it. So make sure that you don't have paper gains built on hopes so that you're paying taxes on money you really don't have.
So that's been it with Keith Engel, who is the CEO of the South African Institute of Tax Professionals, giving us some insight into what this tax season looks like and some of the public financing issues that are affecting the current economy, just highlighting how much pressure consumers and businesses are under at this time, and that fortunately or unfortunately, this is not a uniquely South African situation, that around the world, the tax collection is a bit of an issue, particularly on the African continent, but also just highlighting that some of the models used in other parts of the world, such as in Europe or Scandinavian countries, where there's high taxation but a high level of public service delivery, sort of works better in those countries because the economic setup is different. The gap between the rich and the poor is much less than what it is in a country like South Africa. Africa where economic polarization is not as stark. And it's one of those things where people, you know, be able to, you know, just balance out each other. Also talking about the fact that one of the big things that government needs to work on is just expanding that tax base, because given everything that's happened during this year, it's likely that that tax base has actually come down, and it was already small even going into the lockdown. So that's been it. Thank you so much to Keith for joining us and sharing his insights with us.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
It's always interesting talking about taxes, simply because it sort of shows you once again the linkages in the economy that when government says they want to collect, let's say, 1.5 trillion rand in a year as a target for, you know, South African Revenue Service SARS in a particular year, that it is the individual and the collective effort of individuals and businesses, you know, all coming together one rand at a time to raise that amount of money at the end of the year. But also more interesting is just how a time like this is actually squeezing both the consumer, which directly then affects the government's ability to collect revenue, and then leads us down this path of deficits and increased international borrowing. And we have already seen some borrowing happening, such as from the New Development Bank, otherwise known as the BRICS Bank, some World Bank, IMF, and African Development Bank. There have already been those amounts that were taken earlier this year as a way to fund the government's response to COVID-19. So expanding the tax base, as Keith was saying, that ultimately seems like it's the best goal for the government at the moment. Like he said, there's usually government spending more than they're actually collecting, but a good way to get things, you know, at least on the right path, is to expand your tax base. And what I'm saying is not revolutionary. This is what people have been saying for a long time, but it sort of feeds in, because right now is when it's at a time of crisis that we realize how some of the simple things in life actually matter. And when you then think about how the issue of the tax base and expanding that would have been very important at a time like this, because if there were more people, you know, that were there, even with the current job losses that were seen in the economy, you still have more people than are presently there that are available to pay your taxes, and then reduces that need to borrow. So very fascinating on that end. Perhaps more than anything else, it's just hearing from Keith that rather act ethically, you know, be transparent. If you don't have money, if you have money, talk to SARS, or at least, you know, just be transparent about the state of your finances, because they will find you at some point. Tax season is happening as normal. There is no special treatment happening just because there is COVID-19. So be aware of all of these things, and let's get the economy turning. So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. On Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller, together with Modiehi Mashemaete. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a Multimedia Live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.